So at least start speaking to Hope Powell. Hope, you've announced a 21-person squad for the World Cup today. Where were the difficult decisions in this?
I think the difficult decisions were the fact that everybody, the long squad of 30, have worked really, really hard to put themselves in a position to be picked. And unfortunately, you have to leave players out. So what you're looking for is balance, cover, and all those things that are necessary for tournament play. It's difficult to tell players that actually you've done really well, but you're not actually going after, solid months of hard graft and half work. So it was difficult, and I think the level of competition's very, very high for places, and just to balance it out was challenging.
I mean, I talked to some of the players earlier about, this call-up thing. And I mean, literally, it is a call-up. This is literally you ringing them up and saying you're in or you're not.
How else would you do it?
Well, I don't know, really. I mean,
how do you do it?
I suppose maybe there's a perception, isn't there, that all these things are done from, high-tech gadgetry or something like that.
Okay, phones are high-tech. It's literally a phone call. Yeah.
And that's something that you've had to do to all of the players in the 30-person squad. You've had to say some of these you're in, some you're out. I mean, yeah, hard.
Yes, difficult. I think, it's difficult for them. I think knowing that, on this day you will receive a phone call, make sure your phone is on. For them, the anxiety. I've been a player. I know what it's like. I've been that player, and it's not easy because you want to be picked. And, you know that out of a long squad of 30 that 9 players won't be going, and you worry that you're going to be one of those left out, and unfortunately some are left out, and it's difficult for them, make no mistake. It's very difficult. It's not for me, you have to do it, but I do feel for some of those players that were very close, that they've been left out. Some of the players perhaps probably not quite there yet, but it's difficult.
I would guess the most eye-catching omission would have been Sue Smith, who's a very experienced player and who perhaps has more of a profile than maybe some of the other players in the squad through the media work that she's done on stuff like the Women's FA Cup final and things like that. Mm-hmm. How tough was it leaving her out?
Yeah, Sue has worked really hard and always works hard, very committed, does everything asked of her. But unfortunately this time it's about form. Other players, in my opinion, have performed better. And on this occasion, she's been unfortunate.
A lot of your players are not, how should we put this, not household names, because unfortunately the women's game is not full of superstars in the same way as the men's game is. What are the names that we should be looking out for when we watch this tournament, which is going to be broadcast live, I think, on the BBC?
I think they're household names in women's football. I think if you know women's football, you would know every single one of these players. I think, unfortunately, to a wider audience, perhaps they wouldn't know. And I think we've got some real talent here. Obviously, the ones that probably more people know than anybody else is probably Kelly Smith. Faye White, obviously the captain, leads by example. Rachel Yankee is a name. She's been around for many, many years, 100 caps plus. But if you're in football, you would know this. If you're in the women's game and you know about the women's game, you would know this. But definitely those are the sort of players that probably, we could be looking out for.
So with all that said, there's a really big opportunity here, isn't there, this summer, to try and capture the wider attention, because it's not in an overall sense the busiest sporting summer. Euro 2012 comes next year, the Olympics comes next year. This year, there's Wimbledon, there's things like that, but there's the Women's World Cup, isn't there? How much of an opportunity is this to get those players their kind of standards, not their standards, their kind of, yeah, their images kind of like raised?
It's a great opportunity, and this does come around. It happened in the European Championship 2009, 2007. It seems to be when we're at major tournaments, we get a lot of this media attention, which is great. It gives us an opportunity to raise awareness, raise the profile, I think encourage people to support women's football, support the game. And invariably, people who haven't seen it before, genuinely come away impressed. I think the big thing for me is, let's not forget that after this tournament, we then go into European qualifiers. So we still need to generate that interest and awareness. So it's important that the media recognise that.
Because this is really a growing game, isn't it, this? I mean, we've been talking to some of the players, and we talked to Sir Trevor Brooking, who's a key figure within the FA, and he's telling us about how at youth level, at school level, the women's football is growing and growing. It's ahead of netball now, I think, as well.
Yes, and has been for quite a while. It's the number one female participation sport in this country, which is great. We still want those numbers to increase. We want playing opportunities to be readily available for all girls that want to play. We need a wider base. So that the talent can come through, and obviously it gives us a better opportunity to compete on a world stage.
I see some stats today from the League Managers Association. They're going on about how the average tenure for, a male manager in the English professional game is something like 1.58 years or something. Now then, tell people how long you've been in charge of this team.
Feels like 100 years now. I've been in this post now for 13 years. I've been very fortunate. I think had I been in the men's game and I was Mal, my early results where we were beaten heavily, I probably would have got the sack. I think the position has allowed me to be able to start from scratch, build a good team around me, work with players from a very young age. I've known most of these players for a very, very long time, and it's enabled me to embed a philosophy, a style of play, and you know, it's starting to bear fruit, which is a good thing. But time has afforded me that, and had it been in the earlier days, I probably would have been sacked if it was the men's game. But fortunately for me and the women's game, I've been afforded the luxury of being in this position. But I think it says something. I think longevity, certainly it enables you to embed your philosophy, and it will help you develop players, and from that eventually, you know, you hopefully get some success.
Well, I suppose to put that 13 years into perspective, who was the England men's manager at the time that you were appointed?
Glenn Hoddle.
Quite a while ago then. One final one. You have in the past been linked with a move into the men's game. There's a vacant position at Aston Villa right now. Do you fancy that after the tournament's done?
I'll be sleeping after the tournament's done, so I don't fancy anything after that.